What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
I don't know.
What's going on? You sound sad. What's the matter? It's nice out there. It's sunny out there.
It's chilly. There's a crisp.
Yeah, it's cold.
There's a crispness.
Feels like Canada.
Well, I mean, Canada, the United States, you know, same thing, right?
Soon to be, bitch.
Soon to be. We're taking over, right? Canada, Mexico, Greenland. Let's go. Panama Canal. We got it all.
You ever been to the Panama Canal?
I have never been. I can't say that it's like high on my list. Now, if there was something else, I don't think I would ever go to the Panama Canal to go. I learned my lesson off of Mount Rushmore of going to a place specifically to see something underwhelming. But if I was in the neighborhood and there was like some sort of other excursion and they're like, hey, you want to go a little bit out of the way to see the Panama Canal? Then the answer is that, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even think I would go a little bit out of the way to see the Panama Canal.
I think it should be like if you go see the Hoover Dam. You ever done that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's all right.
That's fine.
Again, I would not go out of my way to do that.
To see Hoover Dam?
Yeah. I mean, why?
Again, I'm not saying out of the way.
It's a good question.
You're in Vegas.
Why?
Maybe you're on your way to the Grand Canyon or whatever, and someone says...
There are 1,700 things I would rather do in Vegas than go out to Hoover Dam.
Right. That is fair.
That's what I'm saying, though. You're in Vegas, right? You're heading somewhere, and someone says, hey, half-hour detour, you want to go check out Hoover Dam. You're telling me you're like, I'll never have a chance to see Hoover Dam again. You don't go take a peek?
Is the chance to see the Hoover Dam like a thing that should be cherished?
Well, I don't know if it's a thing that should be cherished. Neither is the Panama.
It's a thing to do.
Neither is the Panama Canal. But
Vegas
is
the thing to do.
When someone says, hey, have you seen the Panama Canal? You're like, yeah, I've seen it.
If Vegas weren't nearby and it was just in the middle of nowhere, sure, stop there. That sounds good.
He's speaking more like a family dad.
Yeah.
As opposed to a party boy like yourself. Like, I mean, people go to Vegas.
I'm taking my kids to Hoover Dam.
Well, okay, but if you took your kids to Vegas, I think you would take your kids to Hoover Dam.
I would take my kids to Vegas.
Well, right. This is what I'm saying, you ass. Is that Suk is talking about, like, dad things.
Yeah.
And you do not equate dad things to Vegas. Therefore, it is foreign to you to drive 45 minutes to Hoover Dam when you're already in Vegas. Most people don't do that. However, if you're a dad and you're just driving through that area, which, you know, at some point in life, you find yourself driving through Nevada for some reason, which we have. I saw Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I will never see it again.
Well, me and my buddy were doing a kayak trip. Like, and you have several choices of where to put in. And you fly into Vegas, and it was kind of cool. You go out on the old Colorado River there, and you cruise around for a couple days. And so you had several choices of where to put in. And one of the choices is at the base of the Hoover Dam. And we chose the base of the Hoover Dam. Why? Because of all the places you're going to put in, why not the Hoover Dam? And it was kind of neat to be sitting there at the base of that thing in your little paddle, being like, oh, yeah, Hoover Dam. And then they tell you a little bit about it, and then you go about your merry way and you drink on the river. And for that brief moment, I thought the Hoover Dam was kind of cool. I think there's a lot of things like that that are just...
Well, dams are generally all right. Yeah. I mean, they're cool, but...
I think hot springs are kind of that way. I'm not going out of my way. But again, if it's nearby, maybe where they filmed something, like, or Bruce Lee's grave, if you're up in Seattle, something like that. I'm not going out of my way, but I'm
picking
there.
Up what you're putting down.
Yeah, I saw Cobain's house. Was that like in Aberdeen? You can go see that, and it was like, you know, it's like 10 minutes away from where we were at, and I was like, oh, I'll go see where Kirk. And then you look at it, and you're like, oh yeah, it's Cobain's house, and then you go about your business.
See, I could be in. I'm more along the lines of thinking of Buck the way Buck does. I could be in Vegas,
yeah,
on the Strip.
Yeah.
You could tell me that Hoover Dam is right where like the fountain at Bellagio is,
sure,
and I wouldn't see it. I wouldn't go down there.
Yeah,
just because you'd have better things to do.
Yeah, I don't need to see that.
I guess I'm one of those guys that
I have games to play.
I don't mind checking things off the box, and then once I do, like I said, my ultimate one was Mount Rushmore. There is no reason to see Mount Rushmore. There is not, other than to say, I saw Mount Rushmore.
And so like Mount Rushmore, I would contend that neither Mount Rushmore nor the Hoover Dam should even be on the list to be checked.
I think that's fair.
They're American institutions in their own right. If you're passing through, great, check it out. Well, but they're not destinations, or they shouldn't be.
They say, yeah, it's like, I think what Buck is doing here is he is questioning why these are American institutions in the first place. Yeah.
No. That's not what I'm questioning what I'm why they're on the list of must-see.
That's
boxes.
What I'm saying. Right, who said that they were? That we were just told that they were.
And like
sheep, we went and saw them and we were completely underwhelmed.
Let me ask you this. When you travel, is that the same thing? Like when if you're in Europe and there's a lot of crap I've seen in Europe that is just as lame as the Hoover Dam and Mount Rushmore. But I saw it because you were there. I'm telling you, when you go and see Big Ben in Parliament, you're going to say the only good part of seeing that is you get to do the European vacation. Kids, Big Ben, Parliament,
yeah,
and then that's it.
I'd agree with that. But I think there are other sites that are worth the draw more so than those places
would
be.
But you have to go see it.
You don't really have to.
Really?
Yeah, you really
You're going to go to London and not see?
I've been to London, and I can tell you, you can skip... Big Ben in Parliament. You can skip it.
Nah.
Trust me. There's a bridge right there. Mm. And the only, I mean, there's really nothing. There's nothing. It's nothing. It's stupid.
There's a little circle.
But the difference is when you travel in the U.S., you know, I mean, like you're part of the culture.
Yeah.
When you travel outside of the U.S., a lot of people, including myself, travel for the experiences and the people and the culture
that
is different from their own, not some stupid building with a clock on it, you know.
Well,
in the U.S., you don't. I go to South Dakota, or is it North Dakota? Where the hell is it?
South.
South Dakota. I go to South Dakota.
I love that there was that moment of hesitation. I like it. It's a Dakota,
it's
and
in
that's
the Dakotas,
all you need to know.
There's nothing there.
No.
It's four faces on a mountain. Kind of cool. Whatever. I'll look at pictures. I'd go there if it were a cool culture and a different experience in life, but it's not. It's South Dakotans. Guess where I can go to get that? 50 miles outside of Portland, or where I'm from, Kansas.
Well, I guess I am a sucker for that then, and it's even worse when I travel, because you would think I said I learned my lesson off Mount Rushmore, and I did not, because you know what also roped me in when I was in London? And so there is something that's about 2 hours from London, and it's a big deal in theory until you get there and it's not a big deal. And I'm wondering, did you do this? Because it is their Mount Rushmore dumb touristy thing.
Well, isn't it Stonehenge?
Yes.
Yeah. We didn't go, no.
So
I could care less.
I was there and I'm like, wait, it's 2 hours. It was roughly like 2 hours. And I was like, all right, well, it was that old, when am I going to be back? This is my only chance to see Stonehenge. Let's go see Stonehenge. And then you drive out there, and let me tell you,
it's a bunch of stones.
It looks
just like the photos, doesn't it?
And it's actually less impressive, because unless you have an aerial view of it, you can't even see the pattern. It's really quite bad.
But at least those things are marvels, because you don't understand how they could have been put there at the time they were put. Like, there's mystery about it. There's no mystery about how the person built the clock.
I don't know.
Once again, I agree with Buck here.
Kind of like the pyramids, too. I mean, I've heard they're very impressive. I've never seen them, but I would go to them and go out of my way to go to them because they're like, how the hell did that happen?
I like the idea that you can sit in a Kentucky Fried Chicken and look at the pyramid. Have you ever seen the other side of the pyramid?
Yeah.
So
I have not.
So look,
it's like it's the dirty city.
All the photos looking out of the pyramids. But if you have one from the other direction, literally like half a mile from where the pyramid is, there is just a line, and it is a massive, just crappy industrial city. And like right in the front row, there's a KFC and like a Pizza Hut, and I think there's one other, like just some American fast food. And I guess you can sit and eat a two-piece combo and just stare at the Sphinx or the Great Pyramid, which I find fascinating. You're like, I'm going to grab this chicken and look at a pyramid. But there's just things. I don't know, when I travel or if I'm going somewhere in the U.S., there's just something about checking boxes off. It's such a big world, and there's so much to see, and I feel like I would like to at least lay my eyes on as much of it as I can.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And some of the stuff, like, you end up, like, Auschwitz was that way for me, and that was a little bit longer, but again, it was like, I'm never going to have an opportunity to go into Poland, and do I really want to see it, but, like, the historical value of it, and then it's the most depressing place on earth, and I would never go back, but I did it, and, like, that stuff for me, the little bit that goes out of the way to put that experience in your hip pocket, I don't know, that stuff to me is somewhat worthwhile, even when it ends up like Mount Rushmore or Stonehenge, and you're like, God, this kind
of
sucked.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in that type of experience specifically. I went to Berlin and went to a work camp outside of it that was about an hour outside of it, and the gravity of that place was really daunting and moving, and that's something that I would carve out time for because it's a piece of history. I don't necessarily feel the same way about
Stonehenge.
What
about like the largest ball of twine in Minnesota?
I'd like to lay my eyes on that.
Well, you go. I'll meet you there. Hey, did you
How
know
big there, is it?
There's a fake Stonehenge. Did you know that?
No. Is it just as lame as the real Stonehenge?
Well, I would imagine, yeah. It's a replica.
Really?
And it's in Washington, right up the gorge.
Get right there,
it's in Goldendale, Washington.
Oh, I've driven by Goldendale many a time.
Well, right in there, you could have saved your money going to London. You could have just waltzed in there.
See, that's
and been disappointed.
That's super lame.
Well, they're both lame. It's the same thing.
I understand, but at least one's authentically lame, right?
I mean, I guess if you put value in that, to me, they're both lame, but... You do you.
I would have thought you as a traveler, as a sightseer, I would have thought you would have been a little more...
I am less a sightseer and more a... I like to meet people from different cultures and experience different cultures and be in places, but I don't necessarily love sightseeing. That's not my favorite. I mean, we do it. My wife's into it. You know, history and everything's cool.
Yeah.
But, it's not my favorite thing. I'd rather, my favorite thing is sitting down for a nice meal and then a couple drinks at the bar talking to the locals.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what I love to do.
Yeah.
But, again, to each their own. If you want to go kayak Hoover Dam and look at Stonehenge, be my guest.
Well, I guess like Loch Ness is not, it's in Inverness, Scotland, and it's not any different than any of the other lakes that are there, except that it's Loch Ness. And so to me... I went skinny dipping in Loch Ness. I thought that was kind of funny. Like the idea of like, oh, let's go see Loch Ness. And someone else might say, well, there's 800 lakes on the way to Inverness. Why didn't you stop and look at one of those? This is like it's having some whimsy. Putting a little whimsy in your life is it's a good thing. It just adds a little,
Makes you more worldly and well-rounded.
Well, and it's a trip, you know? It's like you said, it's something to do. It's a little mini-adventure that you can put in there and just a little... And without the end game of, all right, I'm driving to that place, then you never get the fun of kind of the adventure of getting there or all the weird stuff that can happen along the way.
All right, well, I'm glad we covered that. Thank you for being with us. We will be back tomorrow. 3 to 7. I'm just kidding. We're going to stay here.
Someone's saying there's a replica in Texas as well.
Yeah, see, this has me thinking, why don't we make a replica Mount Rushmore?
You probably should, because it would spare people.
Yeah.
That's the gold standard of dumb things that I have ever gone to see. That's the only one that I'm really like, God, really?
Or maybe we need to make a replica of something outside of the country.
Yeah.
So maybe like...
The Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Well, that's kind of what Vegas is, right? Vegas is just like
Yeah, but it's all fake.
Yeah.
This like an is actual, real fake.
A real one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just tell the French to go, yeah, put it somewhere in the Midwest, you know?
Yeah.
Something that's no one, like, yeah. there's no reason to go there.
Why
but no.
doesn't the U.S. just take every landmark from around the world?
I love it.
And make a replica. We have a ton of land.
Ton of space.
Make a replica, yeah. and then yeah. Americans wouldn't even have to, not that they leave America anyway,
yeah.
but they wouldn't even have to leave.
Hey, get this, Great Wall. I know where we can put it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Idaho.
We want this wall, you know, hey. There you build ourselves a Great Wall.
Make Oregon the second landmark state where we have a replica of everybody else's thing. You bring a ton of tourism here, yeah. and you know, lots That's of right. business, lots
we
of jobs.
We steal all the tourism from the Taj Mahal.
I like where we're
I mean,
doing.
Don't go all the way to the East Coast to see the Statue of Liberty. See one right yep. here in Troutdale.
And then smoke a doob.
We're all
sure.
We're all trying to make it that it's like everything like virtual reality. Like, why would I go see that when I can just look at it on my computer? That's, I don't know. It's kind of a sad thing.
Now, the thing you can't replicate is the culture.
Yes. Yes.
Unless you have authentic people from that culture, and even then.
And that is the best part of traveling, is getting to experience yeah. different cultures, which is I've never understood the people that go across the world and then sit at an all-inclusive resort and never leave it. You know, that's the one where that I don't get. Because you can do that anywhere. So why are you going to, you know, Jakarta to sit at a writ somewhere and never leave the property? Never understood that.
Well, you guys want to talk some football?
Ah, why not?
Out here? Up in here?
Not up in, up in, not up in here.
Yeah, we're going to talk some football.
The main justice.
Got a lot of good stuff. I think Deion's going to the Cowboys.
Does seem to be some traction behind that. That's I had a I guy today in the gym try to talk my ear off for about 10 minutes.
About
as if
that?
I had some sort of inside information on it.
Well, you're a sports guy. You're on the sports.
I didn't know what to tell him. I'm like,
I've got to be smoking something over there.
The best part is he was up, like, you could tell he is red. And I'm like, dude, you know more about this than I do. Why are you asking me?
All right, well, where do we start?
I mean, well, we talked about last night. Old Sam.
God.
Womp womp.
That guy's costing himself some money, isn't he?
So Troy Aikman said, now Aikman's getting killed for it.
Well, he's telling the truth.
Yeah, he cost himself a nice little chunk of money there, yes.
And it makes me sad.
It does make me sad. I think Sam okay. is sad today.
Well, we'll start there. What's next for the Vikings? And is Deion off to Dallas? Coming up on The Fan. Hello. Good day, everyone. It's Tuesday out here.
Let's find more sun.
We found sun today.
Yeah.
It's sunny.
I think it's supposed to be dry all week, too.
Yeah, they say we're going to get some sun.
Yeah.
It's going to get a little warmer this weekend.
It means I got to get up and get the gutters done.
Yeah, it's a good weekend to do that.
Rat farts.
By warmer, like upper 40s.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, but back when we used to have a bunch of trees and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a tree killer and we took them out.
Yeah.
When I had to clean the gutters a lot more often,
mm-hmm.
I found that frozen mornings
yeah.
were better.
Really?
Yeah, because the stuff comes out in chunks.
Oh.
As opposed to being sloppy and gross.
I do the...
you know?
I just clear the one, the downspouts, and then I leaf blower. I get up on yeah. the roof, and then
That's
I just...
That's a good idea.
You know. Yeah.
Get that out of there.
Get it out of there, and then you have to get out some of the big stuff, so... But yeah, the frozen mornings might be... you might be onto something there, but God, it's just... It's hard to want to do anything with... Like, I have to walk the dog in the morning, and It's
cold out there.
Yeah, it's
tough on a white boy.
It is. It is not white boy winter. No. It's too damn cold.
Well, coming up, is there any doubt Deion is headed to Dallas? But first, what's next for my Vikings? Your Vikings? Our Vikings?
It does put you in an interesting position because Minnesota, and we've talked about this with a handful of these teams. You don't win 14 games and be bad, right? Like, the Minnesota Vikings are a good team. And unfortunately, when the season ends that way, now we make sweeping judgments about you. But, you know, in reality, you lost two games. You lost them in the worst fashion. And it kind of felt like both of those games you weren't supposed to win. I think you just found out kind of the rubber meets the road. One, Detroit is just better than you. And I don't think Minnesota is playing that good, and I think the Rams are a tough matchup. And we know that when the Rams are cooking, we've said this many times, the Rams' best is as good as anyone's in the NFL. I mean, they beat the Bills, and a lot of people think the Bills are the best team in the NFL. So, while we're going to make these sweeping notions about the Vikings, the truth of the matter is, you won 14 games, you're a really good football team, but this is the problem. Much like the Bills, I think you are a collection of really good players. Now, you're a collection of solid players. How about that? But I don't know, outside of Justin Jefferson, there's really not another marquee guy anywhere on that roster, especially at the quarterback position. So I think if you're Minnesota, the problem that you have is when you run into teams that are as talented but do have true difference makers, especially at a certain position, see quarterback. Matthew Stafford was about as good as you could be in that game last night. And Sam Darnold the last 2 weeks has not been. And I'm not putting that all on Sam Darnold. He gets sacked 9 times. And, you know, some of that is on Darnold for patting the ball. Some of that may be on coaching, you know. But some of that is just that Sam Darnold is not an elite quarterback. So if you're Minnesota, you are kind of at a crossroads here of, do you keep running this back and just say, hey, we're going to keep adding little pieces to this and hope that our team eventually gets good enough to overcome the deficiencies at quarterback? Or do we say, look, even if we have to take a step back, we're going to flush this thing and we're going to start over with J.J. McCarthy, because we think even if we take a step backwards, ultimately he's the guy that can get us over the hump. I mean, so if you're Minnesota, you really are at a crossroads in figuring out what to do. Because even if you tag Darnold, it's what, 40-something million?
I wouldn't do that, would you?
I personally wouldn't.
They got him for $10 million this year.
Yeah.
And I think you see what that brings you. And it's nothing but disappointment.
Yeah.
And I know they had a good season, but come on. I mean, that quarterback ain't it. He's not it. You drafted your guy. He got hurt. Go back to that.
Yeah.
There's no reason to pay Darnold. Just bring in Daniel Jones. It's the same thing.
Well, you did bring in Daniel Jones.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, just give him $5-10 million and call it good.
And I'd be interested to see what the market is for Sam Darnold. Like, if I could get Sam Darnold at 20, if I could get him at 25.
Who else is at 20 and 25?
Well, I think that's the Geno Smith, maybe the Baker Mayfield sort of thing.
I'd take Geno over Darnold.
I would too. I like Geno, but these guys all...
I don't.
These guys all... You don't. They all present the same kind of problem, whether you're talking about Baker, and I think Baker is the best of those, but the Baker Mayfields, the Geno Smiths, the Sam Darnolds, there's this new kind of... new middle ground of quarterbacks that we found kind of the resurgent that you kind of go with.
Well, don't you think that's an interesting point. Like, we didn't used to have this.
No.
It used to be...
this is kind of a new thing.
You flamed out, you were done. Yeah. Well, now you got Baker resurgence, Geno resurgence, Darnold resurgence. You know, it's like, maybe is coaching getting better that they're a little bit more malleable to getting these quarterbacks? And again, the quarterbacks like this eventually show their flaws, as you're pointing out. But... I don't know. I think coaching has maybe gotten a little bit more adaptable to get these guys where they need to be, whereas it used to be that it just wasn't that way.
No, and we just immediately went down the road of get the hell out of here. And I just think I think people have realized that finding those quarterbacks is really hard, and with the right system and talent around you, you can have a solid player, but we all know that there's a limitation there.
They've always known finding the good stud quarterback is hard.
Yeah.
That's been the age old thing. But now I think teams are just getting better. These offensive coaches are just getting better at coaching up the mid tier guys. Yeah. And yet it's getting them nowhere.
Well, and I think the other one too is...
I mean, 14 wins, I guess that's not nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. You're
it is,
game
but
away.
It's so obnoxious to lose that way. Like, he's terrible. Yeah. Holds on to the ball, throws it to the wrong team, can't find an open guy.
I think the other two things that come into this along your lines is, one, quarterbacks have become so expensive, right? That some teams are becoming hesitant, and they should, paying Daniel Jones and the Derek Carrs of the world, Kyler Murray, like you're, and by the way, like, we're handing out like Jordan Love off of basically like 8 games. We're handing that guy the keys to the Corvette and all the money in the world. And I do think there are some teams that are very hesitant to do that. And we know that going down the rookie road, if you don't believe in a guy, is going to get you fired. Like, I think Kevin O'Connell is a really, really good coach. I think clearly what he did with Kirk Cousins, clearly what he did with Sam Darnold, that is a really, really solid coach. But if you decide to go down the rookie road, right, and you say, look, we don't have a franchise guy, F it, we're going to flush this, we're going to take a rookie. Dude, you are one bad choice away, and it's not even your choice. It can be your GM's choice. Anthony Richardson, for example, right? I think everyone liked Shane Steichen. I think Shane Steichen is a smart guy. I think he's a smart play caller. Anthony Richardson is probably going to get Shane Steichen fired next year. And I don't know if Shane Steichen loved Anthony Richardson. I don't know if he went to bat for him. I don't know, but he's going to get him fired. Bryce Young got someone fired in Carolina. Now, he may actually end up being okay on the back end. He showed some real promise there, but that's the scary part is that even if you think going the rookie road is your best chance to elevate, you're not going to be around to see it. So I do think you have more GMs and coaches that are like being the Todd Bowles of the world that are like, dude, we can't. And I know Kyle Trask is not the answer, but like he was a quarterback they drafted. You can't afford to turn to Kyle Trask and be like, hey, if it doesn't work in 2 years, then we'll go find something else. You're out of a job. So I do think you're going to see more of this Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold kind of reclamation project for some of these squads to try to keep their head above water and save a job and get some wins. But ultimately, you're right in that unless you have a truly elite team that's built around him, and I mean elite, you are probably going to end up falling short to more talented counterparts and teams that are just as talented as you or a matchup problem and that has, you know, a better player at that position.
I think if I'm Minnesota, I'm not bringing Darnold back. You've seen that game. I think I'm going after, well, I'm hoping McCarthy is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I might make a run at Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean.
And I wouldn't say that for a lot of teams, but for Minnesota, I would.
Relax.
Well, the idea is that, I think Rodgers is cooked, but you're right in that.
Well, we thought Peyton Manning was cooked.
That's true.
And well, Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl.
He was kind of cooked when he won, but
he won a Super Bowl.
With a defense. He had nothing to do
okay,
with that.
Well, okay, but you can build that too. This is what I'm saying. Like, don't minimize that.
Yeah.
That is a thing. Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. a Hall of Fame quarterback,
yeah.
not what he once was,
yeah.
went to a team with a good defense,
yes.
and they implemented him perfectly, and mm-hmm. they took his experience
yeah.
and his know-how, and his he's been in the playoffs so many times. He was able to guide them to a Super Bowl victory. It can be done. There is a path. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers can sling it better than Peyton Manning. Aaron Rodgers can sling it better now than Peyton Manning could when he was in Denver.
Yes. That last year or two that he was there with the neck problem, yeah, it was.
So what you're buying is you're buying yeah. Rodgers. I mean, this is the end of it, so no. you're never going to get him cheaper.
No.
You got a guy who sounds like wants to keep playing and try to win one more.
It gives you another bridge gap for McCarthy.
Exactly. He's yeah. not going to be there long. You just yeah. give it a – it's a 50 times better option than what you just tried yeah. in Sam Darnold. And he's got that playoff experience and pedigree that could help you get further when, you know, you meet the better teams late, like Sam Darnold cannot do
yeah.
and did not do.
Yeah, that's a valid
so
point.
So I'd do that if yeah. I, him or, you know, I mean, you could run Kirkers back, but I don't know where that gets you. It's either McCarthy or Rodgers for me if I'm Minnesota.
Yeah, well, to me, it's probably McCarthy, and then if you don't feel that he's going to be ready or that scares you, I guess you can bring in a veteran guy like that and try to buy yourself one more year of sitting him. But even if McCarthy is a step back at the beginning from Sam Darnold, to me, if you're Minnesota, you need to turn the page and you need to progress. Yeah. You need to progress.
Can't go back with Darnold.
I don't think so.
No way.
As good as he had a year, and I'm telling you, go back and watch some of his film. There was more of this we've saw the last 2 weeks that was kind of littered throughout that was covered up by good coaching, good O-line play, and honestly, some good fortune. Every game that he played in, there was four or five throws where you're like, oh my God, that's the old Sam Darnold. And it never really came back to bite him in the ass until these last 2 weeks. And by the way, we forgot to mention the best reclamation project in the NFL because it's sitting in Detroit right now. Like, he was cast off. He was dead. And he was viewed as an absolute failure yeah. after that run in with the Rams. And you know, he had a bunch of money and he was viewed
as golf.
When he got to Detroit, it was like, okay, we just have to eat this for a year or two and it's going to be a full reset until we can find our quarterback. And it was just a salary dump. And he is not one of the top, you know, three guys in the league. He's not Lamar. He's not Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes. But are you going to argue that he isn't having the last couple seasons, I mean, an absolute career resurgence? He's better than he ever was in LA when he took him to the doorstep of Super Bowl. And kudos to Ben Johnson and Detroit for giving Jared Goff a second chance. And he has rewarded that.
So Aaron Glenn broke Sam Darnold.
Yes.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
And so much for a 14-win team playing on the road being unfair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't even sniff
no.
the Rams. And no. by the way, they didn't even have a home game.
No.
They had to move their home game.
With all of that distraction
you got lucky,
going on.
And you still got smoked.
Yeah, you got drilled.
Get out of here with that.
Yeah, there's no more.
Vikings.
I would say this. I don't know if there has been a worse, and I'd have to go back and look, but just off the top of my head, I can't recall a 14-win team ending this way, so sudden, so brutal, and now with as much of a what the hell do we do yep. now?
Completely turned on a dime.
It is.
That's what Troy Aikman said last night.
Yeah.
2 weeks, he said, made a lot more money. He had a lot more money in his pocket 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Darnold.
And it's.
And it, now it's like, who yeah. wants him?
Yeah,
they flashed a stat last night when they were struggling early that they had like 21 straight drives without a touchdown yeah. going back their last couple games, and it was their longest streak of the season of not having a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a rough go.
Plan your worst at the worst time.
It's a rough go. But if you're Minnesota and you move on and you got McCarthy, you still have plenty of room to keep tweaking this roster. And if you hit on McCarthy, Minnesota should be, and again, it's a big if, we haven't seen him, but if you hit on J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, you're fine.
You're fine. Not only are you fine, but you are now set up in an absolute catbird situation here over the next handful of years to really be one of these young, fun teams to go along with, you know, the Texans and, the Commanders, and maybe if you want to throw the Chargers in that, the Broncos. There's an opportunity here for Minnesota, and it just boils down to, did you hit on J.J. McCarthy? And I think if you're Minnesota, you have to roll that dice and see.
All right, is there any doubt? Deion's headed to Dallas. We'll get to that next. Here's Buck.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Okay, well, we had thought that Deion Sanders didn't want to coach in the NFL.
Well, we thought that because he said explicitly that he did not want to coach in the NFL, that he would not work in the NFL. And so why would we view it any other way?
So we thought that, but then today.
Mm-hmm.
And
I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
He posted to Twitter. He said, to hear from Jerry Jones is truly delightful and it's intriguing. I love Jerry. And believe in Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
After you hang up and process it and think about it, it's intriguing. But I love Boulder. And everything there is about our team, the coaches, our student body, and the community.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all he said.
Yeah. By the way, there seems to be a lot of smoke and people close to that saying that those conversations are going on. And it may just be how much money that Jerry yeah. can throw at him.
He's out of there.
I mean, look, I think a lot of people thought that Deion was not long for Colorado. Wouldn't shock me. You know, he loses Hunter. He loses his son. You know, someone comes calling. I just didn't think it'd be the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm not certain how this is going to work. I mean, clearly, Deion Sanders, at this point, give the man his flowers, right? He did a nice job at Colorado. Did a nice job at Jackson State. Did a nice job at Colorado. This is an entirely different ball game that you're talking about here. One, Deion is not a offense or defensive coordinator guy. He is not an X's and O's guy. He is a culture builder. Will that culture work in Dallas? I mean, obviously, he knows what it takes to play at that level. He's one of the greatest players of all time. But will his shtick, will the God shtick, will all of that stuff, does that work?
Well, I would argue that they already have a culture there
mm-hmm.
that is not conducive to championships.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to say it's not a good culture.
No.
Because every coach they've ever had has been a winning coach, yeah. with the exception of one.
It is not a bad. I think times we do the yeah. bad franchise, bad owner, and that's just not true.
It's not the best.
No.
Owner gets in the way, has its problems, but they've had some good teams.
Mm-hmm.
They just, I think there is a, There's just a lot going on there. I think there's a lot. It's more complicated than some franchises in terms of the noise and the outside influences and just kind of the stardom and just being a Dallas Cowboy, right? It's just harder. I think it's harder to win there. Yeah. I do, because of what they've created. It's it's the biggest team in probably in North American sports besides the Yankees.
Yeah. You know? Well, actually, I think it is now officially the most valuable team in
yeah. Well, and he's, you know, that's the other thing is Jerry's all about money and he's created this value, but does that help? I mean, are you really honed in on winning? I don't know. Look, I think it's going to be hard for anybody to win a championship there because it just hasn't happened since what? What year was that?
God, what was last year Switzer won? That would have been, what, 94? Yeah, I was going to say mid-90s.
They haven't won a title since. Dude, how many playoff wins do they have since then? I mean, that tells you all you need to know.
I think two or three.
About the franchise. And so, I don't know if Dion means anything other than what any other the other coaches have meant. It's like, they had Parcells, they didn't win. They had Wade Phillips, they didn't win. They had McCarthy, he did. You know, it's like, they're all the same. So he'll probably be pretty good because he's Dion and he knows what he's doing.
And it's not a terrible roster. No. Someone said this, and I wish I could remember who it was.
But he's also not going to win a title, and he's going to get fired in 4 years because it's not going to be enough.
I forget who it was. One of the NFL writers that I follow had a really good I thought it encapsulated it really well, and I'll paraphrase because I don't remember it word for word, but they said that Dallas, actually, when you look at it, is a really solid franchise. They evaluate well. They draft real well. You look at the guys that they have brought in over the last 15 years. I mean, Hall of Fame guys that they've drafted. They've done a nice job in the draft and bringing in guys from offensive linemen to wide receivers to tight ends. They found Dak, whatever you think of Dak. They found Dak in the middle of rounds. They found Tony Romo, right? Who I believe was a free agent. I don't even think he was drafted. I think he was unsigned free agent. Ezekiel Elliott was taken in the draft and had a very, very nice, productive career. I mean, they have done, and Micah Parsons, and they've done a really nice job. But they said it's the margins, right? It's in the margins and the little bit of dysfunction from refusal to make changes, from stubbornness to the inability to get ahead of contracts, to be thinking one step ahead. And they said that is what has kept Dallas from being a truly elite franchise, but it is...
And Dion doesn't change that.
And Dion does not change that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yes. Dallas just has built-in walls, and they're tough to break down, and Dion's not going to change that. I don't know who would change that. I don't know if Belichick would change that.
It would be tough. The only thing that I think would really turn is if he, and I'm talking about Jerry, ceded control, and he has to some extent.
To his kids, yes.
But if he kind of let someone come in and really be a true chief of football operations, a true GM, and had this synergy, that would be the best thing for Dallas to do, is to go find that and change that structure. But you're right, that's not going to happen. So I think there will always be some limitations put on Dallas, and they're going to need to... be able to overcome that. And the biggest problem I see in all of this, and you know me, I really like Dak. I think Dak is criminally underrated, and Dak wins a lot of games. But this is what we were talking about a little bit with Minnesota. He's not elite. He is not a guy that can elevate and cover up all the holes. And that is going to be a problem for them, that they don't operate well in the margins. They don't do a good job of filling out in the cracks. And they now have a quarterback that makes an S ton of money that is not one of those gravitational players that can pull a franchise along. And so I do think that Dallas, better or worse, is going to be stuck in a little bit of the mud, spinning their tires. And Dion, whether he works or not, the father figure, hard-handed, guy, I just don't think any of that matters. And
well, that's what I was saying. So I feel like Dion, in a way, could hurt them because he's exactly what the Cowboys are. And that is, and I'm not saying he's not good, because again, the Cowboys have been good.
Yeah.
He is flash.
Yeah.
And he is distraction. And he's a big personality. Yeah. He is sizzle. And that, you could argue that is exactly what you do not need in Dallas. You already have too much of that.
Yeah. You need a little more substance. You need a little more backbone.
Or you could argue that he fits perfectly and, he's the guy like Pete Carroll going to USC. Yeah. Who brings in that last bit of culture that does make a difference. You know, you could argue it either way. I don't know. I think it's an interesting move if he does it. And I would like to say this about Deion. At least he's honest. You know, he said, hey, I've talked to Dallas, and it is intriguing. What other coach says that?
Yeah.
Every other coach gets all bristly and is like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. How can you say that? These reporters. No, at least he's being honest, so yeah. Give him that.
Yeah, I will.
Well, it was like 3 months ago he said he was 10 toes down in Boulder. Yeah, but
well, they all say it, right?
It's changed. But you're right. At least he's acknowledging it.
Yeah, like somebody said, if Deion goes to Dallas, we should come to the understanding that his word means nothing. Like every other coach ever,
yeah.
This is no different. What he is doing is no different than any other coach.
Because $11 million will change your mind.
And he probably wasn't thinking about leaving Boulder. And then Jerry calls him, and Jerry can probably be pretty seductive. Yep. Cowboys, I guarantee, are pretty seductive to a guy like Deion. Yep. And all of a sudden, money talks.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. He lives down there.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, did they talk about maybe bringing in Shador?
I don't know how you get up there to get him, but yeah.
Well, you make a trade.
Yeah.
Either I mean, it's possible.
Either that or you get your kid to play hardball, pulling Eli Manning.
I don't know. It's stranger things have happened, I would say that.
And no state tax either. Money goes a long way in Texas. And Deion likes money.
So if you had to bet right now, is he the next coach of the Cowboys? I think they hire him.
Gosh.
I think they hire him.
The fact that they botched the McCarthy thing and didn't get a chance to talk to like Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I mean, what else are they going to do?
I absolutely could see it. I just don't
think... Are we going to hire Kellen Moore?
Well, supposedly they're talking to him. I just don't...
Ew.
If they were smart, they would go find the next... really bright offensive mind, but
not
but they're dumb. They're right.
Tom Brady's smart. He, you know, I don't even see what he said down at the Raiders. He's all over Ben Johnson.
Yes,
Tom Brady's not dumb.
No.
Hey, Rex
Jerry
Andy,
Jones, dumb.
And Jerry and that it, I can't. Jerry and company effed around with Mike McCarthy and didn't even get a chance to talk to Ben Johnson because they had to do it during the Lions bye week.
That's why I'm calling him dumb.
Yeah, it's
absurd.
It's really ignorant knowing that you're going to have a head coaching opening and you didn't get a chance to talk to the two probably hottest commodities on the market. That's the margins.
Decent point here on Buckley saying that Deion said he had 10 toes in Boulder.
He's only got 9.
He doesn't even have 10 toes.
That's true. But didn't he say that? Those were his words,
I do think he said that, but...
So he was lying.
Was he being cheeky?
Because he doesn't have 10 toes.
No, 9 toes down.
He knew what he was doing.
Or does he have 8?
I think 8.
Might even be 7.
Let's go 6.
No, I think it's 8.
Okay, we got to go. Up next is our college football chunk play. We're going to have a head coach / defensive coordinator.
Yes. Actually, we are.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's
8 toes.
Next on the Fan. All right, now to a college football chunk play where we are learning that Trent Bray at Oregon State is not only going to be head coach, he's going to be the defensive coordinator too.
Yeah. I would assume he either promotes or goes and hires an unofficial defensive coordinator to go along with that.
Is this just the way they can save money? Because you don't have technically a defensive coordinator salary on the books?
It's possible.
But you can pay somebody at a lesser salary and a lesser sort of title to do most of the defensive work, although he calls the plays?
And he obviously wants to call the plays. Maybe he feels with the limited budget that he can't go out and get a defensive coordinator that he particularly wants. So in that case, it would be easier to just take it over. But there will be someone else.
Sure.
Like, you can't be a head coach and and run one side of the ball.
Yeah, like, it's pretty ballsy. He's like, I'll just do it.
But
I mean,
there's coaches like, you know, Lincoln Riley calls plays, Jeff Libby calls plays. But most of the time, Heupel is a play caller. But most of the time, they still have, I don't know anyone off the top of my head that doesn't have a coordinator, even if they call offense or defensive plays. So,
right.
I mean, this isn't that unusual. It's a little weird. But again, I would assume that someone will get the title of assistant defensive coordinator. And because like during practices and stuff, like just as a head coach, you have just too many roles. You got too many, you got to have your hands in too many pies to sit there and do everything that a defense or an offensive coordinator would do.
What if they just decide to punt every time they get the ball? That and would, only focus on defense.
That would be interesting.
And try to win the game with defensive scores. Eliminate one side of the ball.
Well,
won't turn it over that way.
That is something that I have not heard before.
Well, they gave up like 30 points a game. So, you know.
Well, that's maybe what he's.
Something's got to change.
That's what he said. Yeah, well, that's it. Hey, we gave up 30 points a game. Let's focus only on defense.
I'll do it my damn self.
Yeah.
I'll do it myself. We will punt every time they punt to us. We'll just punt it right back. And we'll put the defense out there. We'll have all defenders on our team. Yeah. No offensive guys.
I like
it. So we'll be deep.
It's like a spring scrimmage sort of thing.
We will lead the league we will lead the country in fewest turnovers because we'll never have the ball. And maybe we score a few times. Block some kicks.
Yeah.
Return some touchdowns for interceptions for touchdowns.
Well, their transfer.
Scoop and score fumbles.
The transfer quarterback and the 4-star tight end that they just got are probably not going to be happy about that.
Give him back.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need him.
They can go play on the other side. I mean, I'm sure Malik Murphy can play some DB or something, put him at safety. It'll be an interesting year for Oregon State. I know
that's a weird one.
Well, I think there was a lot of optimism coming into this year from a certain group of Oregon State fans that the schedule and what you had coming back was going to be enough. And they kind of thought maybe a Washington State-like year. Well, it didn't end well for Washington State. And then it went really bad in the offseason, and Washington State ended up kind of where Oregon State was. Like, Oregon State kind of got gutted just a year before Washington State did. And now you're kind of left with the aftermath of it, and now we get to see where Oregon State settles in. And so I think last year was a weird transition year, and now you know where the conference is headed. You kind of know what you're up against, and now you got to plant the feet and start, working towards – trying to be the next Boise State.
Well, the Ben Golbranson era is over.
Yeah.
But I would argue for those still griping about Oregon State's lot, and I get it, it's not good.
No.
They did get a top five quarterback in the portal.
Yes.
They paid a $1.5 million for him.
Mm-hmm. So they got some dough, and they got $50 million coming the next 2 years from
exactly,
the Rose Bowl.
Exactly. Yeah. So come on, man. You got to make do with what you got, and they seem to be doing that.
Yeah, look.
That's a hell of an upgrade at quarterback.
Yeah, you can sit here and cry all you want, but the fact of the matter is life goes on, and you did see a team that is in your league. Now, granted, it's a little bit different because we're in the transition, but essentially in your league, in Boise State, made the College Football Playoff. So, and I don't hear Boise State crying. Boise State
actually,
is,
you do.
Well,
we'll get to that next.
Valid point. Damn it. How about this? Boise State is at least making the most of a crappy situation and realize
it's all you can do.
It's all you can do. And because let's be honest, like 90% of the teams right now are crying and bitching and moaning. Even the really good ones.
Yeah.
Even USC, because Oregon took another one of USC's best players. And so they're crying. Like there's only a handful of teams that aren't getting the pitchfork right in the old keister at this point.
All right, our college football chunk play continues next. Did the Ducks tamper? We'll be right back on The Fan.